Track 3, Dealing with Discussion Difficulties. On the last track, we proposed a 5-step method of resolving conflicts. The 5 steps were observation, thoughts, feedback, desires, and next time. On this track, we will examine the various types of supervisees that are resistant to improvement. The yeah but supervisee, the silent supervisee, the I'll try supervisee, and the irrelevant supervisee. Number 1, the yeah but supervisee. I found one of the most challenging supervisees is known as the yeah but supervisee. You may have encountered him or her in your own work as a supervisor. These are the supervisees who give the answer yeah but to most pieces of advice you give to them. You might say, Cheryl, you have to complete your client's progress notes by the end of the week. And Cheryl might say, yeah, but it's just so difficult for me to grasp the key points of what happened during the session. After we review a couple of sessions, Cheryl would state something like, yeah, but it's just hard for me to find time to do them. As you can see, this type of supervisee can easily turn a conversation into a never-ending cycle of yeah buts. Here's a 2-part solution to your yeah but supervisee. Part 1. To address this problem, acknowledge the problem that the supervisee faces. And Part 2. Place the responsibility of solving that conflict back on to the supervisee. For example, you might say, you're right, Cheryl, that is a problem. When I first started out, it was difficult for me to get the hang of writing progress notes as well. So, how are you planning to handle that situation so that you can meet your responsibility for completing your work? Should Cheryl respond with, I have no idea, you might consider saying, well, you need to think about that carefully. As you can see, the key here with your yeah but supervisee is placing the responsibility back on the supervisee. You leave no opportunity open for a yeah but to sneak in. How? You ask for their solution. If they come back with a yeah but, you tell them to think about it. It's their responsibility. Sound like this will work for you and your yeah butter? In summary, the key with your yeah but supervisee is to place responsibility back on them by asking them to think of a solution. Number 2, the silent supervisee. The second type of difficult supervisee is the silent supervisee. First of all, you have to divide your silent supervisee into one of 2 different categories. Ask yourself, is he or she silent because they are timid, or are they using intimidation? Obviously, the silent supervisee is one who either cannot or will not respond to questions regarding their performance. Sometimes more timid supervisees, when confronted with inadequacies, might feel anxious about discussing their competency and understandably freeze. This type of silent treatment can easily be rectified by asking gently after a silence, are you feeling okay? Or do you need a minute? This will let your supervisee know that you're not trying to be intimidating and that you do care about his or her well-being. On the other hand, some supervisees fall into the second category and might use silence as an intimidation tactic. The supervisee deliberately remains silent as a visible act of defiance. I feel such passive-aggressive behavior must be addressed and, if necessary, reprimanded in order to facilitate a productive working relationship. Marilyn, a supervisee, was not convinced of the importance of the family system model used by the outpatient facility. Marilyn continually needed to be coached about the use of the genogram and continually had to be reminded to add a genogram to her clients' records. As you know, a genogram is a diagram used in family therapy to depict family relationships extended over at least 3 generations. Here's what would happen. Marilyn continually needed to be reminded regarding simple facts, such as the diagram uses circles to represent females and squares to represent males, with horizontal and vertical lines connecting accordingly. When her supervisor, Carl, addressed Marilyn about this problem, Marilyn refused to answer. After several questions regarding her behavior negligence in either completing a genogram or completing it incorrectly, without a response, Carl asked, "Is there a problem? I need your agreement that you will remedy this behavior." When Marilyn still refused to answer, Carl said, "If you are refusing to discuss this situation with me, it's a very serious matter." Finally, as a last resort, Carl asked one more time, "Are you refusing to respond to my question?" After Marilyn still refused to respond, Carl explained that within 24 hours, he was going to have to note Marilyn's behavior in her upcoming supervisee assessment, and that any chance Marilyn had to remain at that facility would probably be slim. He ended by saying, "I hope we can resolve whatever it is that is causing your lack of response, and I hear from you within 24 hours. So, with the silent, passive-aggressive supervisee, a time-limited ultimatum seems to be an effective strategy. In summary, with your silent type, if timid, provide support. If passive-aggressive, end with an ultimatum. Sound like it will work? Number 3, the I'll try supervisee. In addition to the yeah, bud, and silent supervisee, the third type of supervisee is the I'll try supervisee that's difficult to deal with. You might need to know the difference between the I'll try and I will. The I'll try type of supervisee might enthusiastically agree to your request. However, when the time comes to actually change, the same behavior is repeated. But they state that they tried. Here's what I do with a supervisee who has not followed through in the past and replies, "I'll try," to a requested action. I acknowledge his or her willingness, but the important thing here is don't stop there. Follow up with a question about their specific method of correction. A good example is found in Katie. Katie is an I'll try type of supervisee. However, her supervisor, Mitchell, noticed that Katie promised she would try to be more positive during her co-leading of a 12-step meeting. However, her behavior seemed to not improve. You might look into your I'll try-er rationale. Katie confided with Mitchell that her husband had an alcohol problem. However, she felt that her husband was not an alcoholic. Since she was in denial about her husband's addiction, she was extremely negative about some of the cornerstones of the 12-step philosophy. Mitchell congratulated Katie on her self-awareness, but stated, "Therapists need to put the client's well-being in the forefront beyond their own need to express their feelings." During the meeting, she showed negative body language by folding her arms across her chest, rolling her eyes, and verbalizing tusk sounds of disapproval. Therefore, when Mitchell told Katie that her body language needed to be more open by unfolding her arms, Katie stated, as she had several times in the past, with no change, "I'll try." Except this time, Mitchell responded with, "That's great, Katie. I'm glad to hear that, and I'm sure you will try. But what will you actually do to make sure you'll be successful in controlling your body language, facial expression, and verbalizations during the meeting?" Katie thought for a moment and said, "I could lean forward a little when a client is relating something that is obviously important to them. Also, I could make more eye contact with them." The next session Katie had with her group, she visibly had improved. As you can see, by directly asking how, let me repeat that, by directly asking how, you can better assure that your I'll try supervisee will consider the situation and change the behavior more carefully. Thus, in summary, the key with your I'll try supervisee is to get specifics by asking how. Number 4, the irrelevant supervisee. In addition to the yeah, but, silent, and I'll try supervisee, the fourth and last type of difficult employee I have found is the irrelevant supervisee. This type of supervisee will try to divert attention away from their own performance and try to place the blame on extraneous people or situations. Strangely enough, I have found that the worst thing to do when dealing with an irrelevant employee is to call their attention to their behavior. Here's why. In the situation I have experienced, this almost always leads to a non-productive disagreement. In your work as a supervisor, have you ever gone through this cycle of confront, defend yourself? Have you also, like I, found it unproductive? To move the process forward, I believe the use of the phrase separately and first are like magic and work well. This technique involves dismissing their initial attempt to digress and then redirect the conversation back to its primary purpose. Dan was a supervisee who would divert the topic away from the conversation. Lawrence, his supervisor, noticed this and employed the use of the phrase separately and first to cope with Dan's digressions. Here's how it worked. Dan stated, "Preparatory reviewing? They never taught me that in school. They have to focus on assessments." In response, Lawrence said, "As far as your college education goes, I'd like to talk about that separately. However, first, I need you to agree to begin to take your primary preparation more seriously." The important words here, of course, are separately and first, hence avoiding the use of the word later, because if the topic truly is irrelevant, there should really be no need to talk about it later. Also be aware that you don't dismiss their topic as irrelevant or unconnected, as again, this will only lead to a conflict. On this track, we have examined various types of supervisees that are resistant to improvement. The yeah, but supervisee, the silent supervisee, the I'll try supervisee, and the irrelevant supervisee. Also, we presented various techniques for overcoming difficult conversations with these supervisees. On the next track, we will present three main ethical issues involved in the supervision of a therapist: proper knowledge and skills, avoiding dual relationships, and fair and balanced assessment evaluations. Question 3. What are the four types of supervisees that are resistant to improvement?